Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we'd love to welcome you to
Love Letters Live. And this is a show, of course, about love letters. And the way we look at love letters here is a love letter is to anyone at any time for anything. And there's such a whole history around love letters. And it is essentially your truth put to paper in a loving, compassionate way. And I have discovered over the months that Teresa and I have been doing this show that every love letter is a success story. And that part I find so charming and so important because it is your own history documented in your own hand, stamped and mailed to somebody. It's filled with love and with gratitude, with appreciation and with hope, anything at all that's yours to say.
To absolutely anyone. It can be romantic or it can be to friends, family,
yes.
Teachers.
And I have found that most love letters are not romantic. That's mm-hmm. only a small percentage. The rest of those letters are letters filled with all kinds of love and appreciation. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention something. I saw an article 2 days ago in the Wall Street Journal that just thrilled me and was really an eye-opener. It was a story about a man who was in the Navy 50 years ago, and somehow on the battlefield he saw a string coming out of the earth, just sticking out of the dirt, and he pulled it. And it was attached to a package of love letters, or a package of letters. And he took them home. I mean, you know, these guys were young, and they were new places, and it was war, and people brought home souvenirs. And it was written in Japanese, and it was obviously attached to a young Japanese man who had been killed. And anyway, he took them home, and just recently he decided he should send these letters to the family of that young man. And he set about to do that, and He managed to send them to this slain soldier's parents, who knew always that their son never came back, but they never knew anything sure
wow.
about him.
Wow.
And they got this package of letters, and they read them, and they essentially, through these letters, got their son back. So
wow.
every aspect of letters, found letters, sent letters, they're just important to people.
Right. And we have
yes.
an important love letter today.
We do.
Who's our guest?
An amazingly wonderful guest whose name is Trang Nguyen, and she is a very recent, I guess 2 weeks ago, UC Berkeley graduate in the field of business and marketing who already has a job. So she's on the road, but she's been on the road for such a long time. And Trang, I just want to start with you right away. Why don't you tell us whatever you want and can about your life, blessings, challenges, things overcome, things where you've been victorious?
Oh, that's a lot. Well, just to kind of give people a brief history about my journey. The last 4 years have been probably the most difficult years of my life. I had just finished my sophomore year in college, 19 going on 20, and I was on summer break getting ready to go to work in my studio apartment, and I get this phone call from my sister, and she sounded hysterical on the phone, and you know, I thought she was laughing and joking, but then her words just caught me, and she said, "Trang, Mom and Dad got shot, Mom and Dad got shot," and she kept on repeating those words over and over again. My initial reaction was just anger. I was mad at her. I thought she was lying, and I pretty much dismissed it at first. And I said, you know, why are you telling me this right now? Don't play around. I have to go to work. And she kept on screaming it into the phone. And it just eventually sunk in, and I said, well, I guess I need to go to Sacramento, and I told her I'll be there as soon as I can. So I got into my car, and I was living in an apartment out in Oakland at the time, so the average drive to Sacramento would be an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, you had to just drive and sit with that.
Yeah. Yes. So I was stuck in traffic for a good 2.5 hours, and all the while I was on my cell phone dialing 411, trying to get phone numbers to hospitals, calling up the police departments in Sacramento, and no one knew anything. No one.
You couldn't get help in any way?
No. The only information that I got from the police department was I just needed to get there as soon as I could.
And how many siblings do you have here?
I have 5 younger siblings. So I'm the oldest.
Yes.
And what they just told me was, get here as soon as you can. We'll give you all the details once you get here. So I eventually got to Sacramento. I went to my parents' house, the family house, checked up on my sister. And
the youngest was how old?
The youngest at the time was my brother, and he was 12.
Uh-huh.
And when I got to the house, my sister was on the floor sobbing, and I just went on the floor with her and just hugged her, and I told her, come on, let's go out to the workplace where our parents were at. In my mind, I thought they were okay.
Sure.
I thought that the paramedics arrived, and they're at the hospital, and they're getting treated. That was what was crossing through my mind. When I finally got out to the workplace, I couldn't even see the front windows or the door because there was such a huge crowd surrounding the area. And I just remember nudging through the crowd and trying to get to where they were. And I saw yellow tape and I saw police officers. And I eventually reached the yellow tape and I ducked down, and then an officer grabbed my arm and said, who are you? And I said, my parents are in there. I just said, my parents are in there. I need to go find out what happened. And she just said, well, you need to follow me. And so the officer put me in the car and she drove me to the station. And I remember just walking down this long hallway and approaching these double wooden doors, and she opened it for me, and I walked in, and I saw the rest of my siblings there, and their eyes were red, and they're crying, and I looked at them just to try to get any information just from their look, and the chaplain walked up to me, and he grabbed both of my hands, and he gave me a hug. And he said, I'm so sorry. Both of your parents passed away. And I just kept them, this is not true, right? This is not happening. And he said, I'm so sorry. And I just went, okay, let me just go to my siblings. And I walked up to my brothers and sisters, and I just gave them a hug, and I said, everything will be all right. We'll figure something out.
God bless you. Did you know that you were somehow in charge at that from then on?
I knew it was going to rest on me. But everything didn't really hit me until the day after, because that same day that I got the news, I took all my siblings home, and we just locked ourselves in our parents' room, and we laid in their beds, and we just tried to sleep, and we eventually ended up crying ourselves to sleep. And I would wake up several times during the night and just tell myself, this is just a bad dream. Sure. I'm gonna wake up from it. And so it never ever happened. The next day, that's when I realized that my worst nightmare came true. It didn't go away. The officers came to the door. The investigators came to the door. I had reporters ask me questions, asking me, what am I going to do next?
That is so naturally the next question. And you decided to keep everybody together, and you would raise them?
Oh, that was a really difficult decision, because I had just finished my sophomore year in college. And at the time, the biggest responsibility for me was just going to school and paying the rent and deciding when the next weekend is that I could go out with my friends. Once everything happened, there weren't many choices available to us.
So you kept everybody together.
It eventually got to that point where I weighed out all the options, and that became the best solution. Either everyone got divided up into this, you know,
foster care. Sure.
None of my relatives would take in all,
of course,
all of my siblings.
So you are the hero who did it. And now I understand, I heard that three of your siblings are also in Berkeley now?
I have actually, I moved everyone from Sacramento to Berkeley because I decided that I couldn't drop out of school. I needed to stay in school.
So you stayed in school and you had how many jobs to
support? I had three jobs.
Three jobs,
one
full-time
point.
School, raising five children.
Yes.
You are just the indescribable hero. I don't know how anybody does this. You're an amazing, amazing young woman. And, Teresa, did you want to?
Well, no, I don't want to, because I want to go on with the story. But just quickly, this is KUSF 90.3 FM. We're here every week at this time, and we hope you'll continue to join us.
Well, I want to get back, obviously, to you. So given this exceptionally difficult task in life, You seem to have done it with love and strength that most people, I don't think could find. And given all that, apparently you have a love letter that you'd like to write.
Yes.
To whom? And say why. What is it? That's the most important thing when we talk about love letters, and to let other people know what can be done in life.
To my siblings, for despite how difficult the situation was, they never stopped believing in me.
So that's my question. You know, when we talk about this, a love letter is such a specific thing. What are the three things, for example, that you most want them to know? I mean, you just said the first one, that they never, you know, despite the most horrible challenge that could befall a family, they gave you the authority somehow to look after them.
I think for just the most part is that aside from a lot of the other responses that we got, or from our relatives in particular, who didn't really think or believe that I was up to the challenge.
Who would? How old were you, 19?
I was 19, going on 20 at the time. They stuck by me and defended me and defended my actions.
Oh.
Yes. And I think what made me realize, what made me appreciate the role that I stepped into when I became the guardian was when my siblings went to college. So just going back, I had most of my siblings in their middle school and high school years, which despite high school years, being a teenager is just some of the hardest years that you can go through. And for me to move them from what they knew from the community that they grew up in to a strange community, a brand new community, even though they gave me a hard time.
Did they? Oh, thank God they did that. That's normal.
Yeah. Even though they gave me a hard time at times, there are just some moments where they would just stop me and just go, you know, Trang, we're not going to ever be able to tell you enough, but just thank you for
everything.
Oh, so
they're so aware. They're so aware. Let me ask you something. You know, when I think in these letters, and you, we've talked about this, this is your own history.
Yes.
In your own hand. And someday, your grandchildren And I know you're laughing because you're 23, and so grandchildren seems funny, but, you know, your grandchildren and their grandchildren and more are going to find this somewhere and know something about you. And don't you want them to know everything as fully and accurately
yes.
as they can?
Yes.
And so, you know, I always say you don't want to say things that aren't specific. So I think it would be wonderful, of course, to, you know, when you start this letter, even though they know everything that happened, to kind of specify it and spell it out just like you did here. Yes. You know, even though this happened, even though I got the call when I was 19 and going to school, just to really put your own history down more than a letter. And then to go into this, you know, and the specifics, when you say they gave you a hard time sometimes, how much fun it will be for generations from now to look
oh,
and see what kind
I,
of...
Yeah, I can't wait until my siblings have kids of their own. Then
you
I
sound like
then
such
it'll
a
be
mommy.
Payback. I'll be oh. I'll be telling their kids stories about what their mom and dad did as kids and how they drove me nearly
but
nuts.
But you should do it in this.
Yes.
You know, this is, I mean, as long as you have overcome this horrible, horrible thing and reached, I mean, that beautiful smile of yours, you know, you've reached some point where life is good again.
Yes.
And how much fun to be able to say all those things. And maybe you'll do it in more than one letter?
Yes.
You know, if you don't want to do one huge, long one, you might want to. They're old enough to read it. So is there anything that you have never said to them before that you might want to say?
To my siblings?
Mm-hmm.
I really don't get too emotional with them just because when everything happened at the time, for me to survive and to deal with my responsibilities, I had to shut out
a lot.
And it took me a really long time before I was able to open up enough to grieve. I'm proud of them.
Oh, that's so nice.
I don't really tell them that. But I'm extremely proud of where they're at right now and how much they've grown up. I had a very informal graduation dinner because I decided not to go to my commencement and walk just because it was an event that I wished my parents could have attended. So for me, it was very, very personal. Mm-hmm. So I decided the best way to celebrate was just to have my close friends and family around. And I had an informal dinner just on Saturday. And all of my siblings came dressed up. I didn't even tell them to dress up. They came dressed to impress. And they brought balloons and flowers. And I just remember sitting at the table and looking at them, just each and every one of them, because they were joking around, teasing each other. And I was just so proud of how grown up they looked.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've had some excellent parenting, not only from your parents, but from you as well.
Yes. I mean, everything they got from before from your parents must have been wonderful. And you, who never asked to be a mother of five at 19...
Mother and father.
Yeah.
Didn't know how I was going to juggle both of those roles. Because
yeah, you have, huh?
My father was always the disciplinarian out of the family, and my mom was more, you know, she was the parent that you could go and talk to. And mm-hmm. So to find that right balance was extremely tricky, and I made a lot of mistakes along the way, of course.
Are you aware of what those are?
Oh.
I mean, if you were to think about them, I'm not asking you, you know, what they are, but.
Well, I could just give you a funny story.
Yeah.
So I often forget how it was like to be in high school. You know, even though I was barely out of high school, just 2 years out
yeah.
of high school. And most of my siblings were just starting high school at the time, but I would just make little mistakes that parents would make that I remember telling my parents not to ever do.
Uh-huh.
So we had this very, very old 1991 Ford minivan, and it was just beat up. And I remember being so embarrassed every time my dad or my mom would pick me up in the van. You know, at the time, image mattered in high school. So on the first week of school, I'd go and pick up my siblings in the van, and I'd wonder why they would walk all the way to the corner, and I'd have to follow them to the corner and pick them up, pick them up. And, you know, I eventually asked them about it. I said, well, you know, why do you always walk to the corner when I pull up near the front? It's like, Trang, I'm not going to be seen in the minivan.
Uh-huh.
Walking into the minivan.
That's so cute.
And then at my brother's very first basketball game, I showed up a little bit late, and but I was cheering him on and everything. Then I realized, you know, I was sitting in the wrong section.
Oh my.
So I was cheering. And
you were the only person.
I was the only person sitting in the wrong team section cheering on. And then afterwards, my brother's like, did you just realize what you just did?
Isn't that funny how somebody's so adorable and hip and kind of cool looking and very much, you know, part of today, you can be made to feel so like...
You don't realize it, because once you stepped into the parent role,
uh-huh.
you know, for you,
the things
that really... matter to high school students, you just, for you, that's not the biggest thing in your life. My the biggest thing in my life was making sure that my siblings had stability, that they had a safe place to live, that they had all the basic necessities and clothes, and you know, even beyond basics, whenever I had extra money, I'd go and treat my siblings out, because sometimes uh-huh. it's just important to enjoy life
yes.
as well.
Yes. And so you went so far and beyond just taking care of your basic needs.
Yeah, I didn't want us just to survive.
Oh, God bless
That's
you.
The thing.
Yes.
You know, it was important to survive, but I wanted us to live and to take from this experience that there are so many good things in life, and there's so many positive aspects about life that you could be happy about, and
that, you know, that just brings your angelic strength to a new level. I mean, that you could see as such a young person how important it is not to survive but to enjoy.
Yes.
You are just amazing. You are just the most beautiful, amazing,
thank you,
powerful angel I could imagine.
And she does other things as well. She's,
tell us she's, about the other things.
Well, she's a singer, for one thing.
Oh, you mentioned that. You said, and so you, your parents introduced you to...
So my parents introduced me to karaoke, and like a lot of traditional Asian families, pretty much, I'm just throwing out a number, more than half of the Asian families have a karaoke machine in their household.
And
yeah.
And a lot of people would agree to that. And so my parents started me off singing Vietnamese songs, of course, and I didn't really understand what I was singing. I was just kind of mimicking what the adults were singing at
yeah.
the time, and I really just got into music. And I remember when I was 10, I started writing my own song.
Oh.
And I would go out into the backyard, and we had the swing in the backyard, and I would just sit out there after I've done my homework and just write songs. And my parents would, of course, call me in when it was time for dinner. And when I was 14, that's when I got more serious about it, started working on my demo. And then I met my manager at 17, and we really got onto the path of just taking music much more seriously. And I've been performing around the Bay Area in Sacramento.
Oh, nice
and,
to know.
Yeah, so...
I've heard her perform. She's wonderful.
Well, you know, something... I mean, will you let us know
yes.
when you're performing
yes.
again?
I will.
And so you'll weave that into your life always?
Always.
Oh,
music
good.
Has always just been my outlet. And some people, you know, write in their journals, and some
mm-hmm.
people express themselves in other ways. For me, it's music and writing.
How wonderful. Everything is just how wonderful. You're just such an inspiration. I hope, well, I know that you have been in other areas where you've told your story to people, and
yes.
I'm just assuming that everybody you speak to gets some strength.
What really just makes my day is that sometimes when I just open my email box, I'll just get really random emails. And I've been on television before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would get emails from people saying, I thought life was hard, but after I heard about your story, I realized, you know, there are much more important things in life than a simple, you know, midterm or homework assignment to get really stressed over. And I was like that too. I would stress over midterms and exams, and then eventually you just get to a place in life where, you know, you believe in yourself enough that, you know, you'll get through that.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's just so much more to life to experience. And
I have a question in that regard. You said you were so proud of your siblings for how much they've grown. What about you and you? When you look at yourself,
I don't usually look back. That's the thing.
I'm
moving forward constantly and trying to tackle the next new issue that comes up in their lives.
But this was a new you met somehow when you were called on to do this.
Yes.
Are you ever amazed?
If I stop right now uh-huh. and just look back in my life in the past 4 years, I think to myself, how did I ever accomplish?
You'd be entitled to ask that all your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then smile my only, at yourself.
My only answer would be, it's just love.
Yes.
Just isn't extreme love for my family.
Right. And a lot of talent.
Yes, and you're lucky in that way that you're so smart and so beautiful. But, you know, that's gravy, I guess. Well, Trang, I want to thank you. I'm going to ask you something.
Yes.
I mean, thank you for just sharing the story, and I know what a light beam it'll be to other people to hear, just like it always is. When you send this,
yes,
do you have a feeling about when you'll get to it? I know how busy you are. It's almost a nerve to ask.
When I send my letter, probably in about 2 years after the kids have experienced college life and understand.
So you're gonna wait,
yes,
to send this.
Yes.
Will you be able to work on it sooner? Like,
yes,
make yourself notes and...
It's going to be a long letter, that's
okay,
the thing.
Okay,
I'm
because
not,
it'll be good for you, too, you know, just to be able to look at...
I just... To write down 4 years of my life, it's going to take a lot of paper.
Let me ask you something, because we talked to somebody else about this, and I know we're just about needing to say goodbye here, but what if you did a few shorter letters and just kept them coming? It's just a thought, you know, just so you can do it.
Yes.
Okay. That's going to be a beautiful thing.
So this will be one letter to all five?
Yes. I was going to ask you that. It's hard to make five copies of something exactly. And it's
I don't want to separate it between my siblings. They get jealous if I...
Okay. So it's just, it'll be for you one more step in keeping everybody together, a joint letter, not separating them at all.
Yes.
And in your own handwriting?
Yes.
Because that'll be so valuable. Okay. Thank you, darling.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well,
thank you for saying yes.
Yeah. So, yes, we love to hear from our listeners, and if you would like to write to us something for Trang, we'll be happy to send it on to her as inspiration, and
she can take it from there.
She can
back
take
to
it
you.
From there. Please send your email to us at www.loveletterslive.com. Just click Contact Us, and we'll get it. And if you have letters for Janet, if you have questions about letters that you would like to send, or letters that you received, or anything at all, Janet,
anything you want to share, and that you'd like us to share with our listeners,
yes,
we'd love to.
We'd love to do that. So, Janet, any last words?
I'm so moved. I don't have anything else to say.
Yes.
That's a stretch for me.
So thank you all for joining us, and we hope you'll join us every week at this time on KUSF 90.3 FM. We encourage you to put your loving sentiments into words and send them while you still have the chance.
Yes, and the sooner the better always, because, you know, next year or 3 years, you can always do another one. There's always something to say. Why not share it? And I just want you to remember that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, every time you write a love letter, that is a special occasion.
Right. So until next week, with love from Teresa,
Janet,
bye-bye,
and Trang.
Bye.